Daily news, breaking updates, and exclusive podcasts. iTricks.com.
Hello and welcome to the Magic Week in Review, bringing you news, rumor, and culture reports from the front lines of the magic industry. I'm Justin Robert Young, editor of iTricks.com. In this March 30th, 2008 edition of the program, you'll hear about David Blaine, Penn, Teller, and stay tuned later to hear which magic superstar will hit the big screen in David Mamet's new film, Red Belt. Here to help me with all of this is a fantastic magician and magic creator who's brought us gems including Fallen and Fraud. He was recently seen on Wayne Houchin's latest release, Control, and is about to release Torn 2. Ladies and gentlemen, iTricks is very proud to welcome Daniel Garcia to the podcast. How you doing, Danny?
What is up?
Oh, man, nothing much. It is great to have you on, though. I know we've wanted to have you on for a while, and finally we just wound up making it happen. But it's great, yeah. Great to have you on.
Yeah, definitely.
And you're calling from Houston, Texas, right? That's where you're based out of?
Yep, Houston, Texas. Just got back.
Fantastic. Well, if you'd like to fire back on anything you hear on this podcast, email show@itricks.com. Before we begin, according to Richard Kaufman, Jack Parker's card magic is ingenious, and we think you'll agree. Jack Parker created card magic for the masses. His tricks are easy to do, yet get amazing reactions from everybody. In his book, 52 Memories, Andy Gladwin teaches 52 of Jack's best tricks from his lifetime of magic. This is the kind of material that you'll use as feature items in your repertoire. Visit us at andywithanigladwin.co.uk to check out some videos of Jack Parker's magic and see why some of the best card magicians in the world are calling this book a modern classic. Again, that is andigladwin.co.uk. Well, the dream is dead for Penn Jillette. Or at least his dreams of not being the first one eliminated on Dancing with the Stars. Jillette, along with tennis champ Monica Seles, were dispatched from the ballroom dancing competition this week during the season's first eliminations. On his video blog, Penn says the magician said he was disappointed. He didn't go further, but relieved to be out of the high-tension environment. Penn's humor was able to be seen through the show, but, you know, his magic was sort of relegated to a magic tie and some appearing flowers. So my question to you, Danny, is do you think that the Dancing with the Stars audience will help P&T's show in Vegas, or are they just two separate groups?
Honestly, I don't know. I think they actually are two separate groups. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be like some overflow, you know, from people that watch the show that, you know, are visiting Vegas. But, you know, I think that people, you know, that's the way Vegas is. Vegas isn't really, you know, I see it on TV and I'm gonna go check it out now. It's more of a, we're in Vegas, what do we do and what's around?
It's 3 o'clock. We have $150 between us.
Exactly.
What is playing? So, yeah, well, you know, it's odd because obviously there wasn't a gigantic amount of Penn and Teller viewers or fans watching the show, or else he kind of would have made it past the first round since it is fan voting centric. But
yeah, exactly.
Is there anything you think that he could have done that would have maybe attracted the Dancing with the Stars audience, or is Penn just, you know, going to go his own way no matter what?
Oh, yeah, that's kind of what I think. I think Penn's just kind of going to go his own way. You know, I don't know. I don't think he seemed like the kind of guy that would, you know, resort to something cheap to get him to go further in a reality show. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The one thing that did kind of really come across, though, is how gigantic he is. I mean, number one, being around a bunch of dancers just makes him look like the Jolly Green Giant. And then through some of the backstage video they showed before his second dance, he accidentally broke the dancing bar in his rehearsal studio.
That's crazy.
He says on purpose, which, I mean, I guess on purpose might be able to go in quotes, he tripped up the stairs after his second dance, and then on the Jimmy Kimmel show, he shattered the coffee table while trying to act out what he was doing. So if there's one thing that America can take away from the whole Dancing with the Stars experience as far as Penn goes, is that Penn is massive.
He is. That man is like a building with hair. That guy is huge. He's so heavy. And I think we were at the same, I think we were in Vegas at the same time when he was at a convention. That guy was just massive.
He's huge. He's huge.
He's so big. I just look up at him and I just want to hug him.
He's very huggable. Well, Teller, meanwhile, had his own sweet and sour week. The bad news, he lost a $5,000 bet he made on Penn to win Dancing with the Stars, but the silent half of PNT brushed it off, reasoning that he'd spent as much on front row tickets to concerts before, so it wasn't that big of a deal. The good news was his post-apocalyptic zombie short, Ann Teller, was selected by George Romero himself to be on the DVD release of Diary of the Dead. Danny, have you ever brushed off a $5,000 loss before?
I have never brushed off a 50-cent loss before. I'm Mexican, brother. That's tough.
So a little tight in the wallet for Mr. Garcia.
Yeah, I don't need to brush. I didn't brush off a five. Who's gonna brush off a $5,000? Come on now. I mean, yeah, you could not be that angry about it, but brush off. I think the most I've ever bet on anything was $2,000, though. I don't even think I've gotten up to a $5,000 bet.
Now,
before.
What was the $2,000 bet? I'm curious.
Actually, it was a bar bet. I was playing quarters, and because of my awesome college. 2 years in college, that's pretty much what I majored in, was quarters, pool, and ping pong. So I was playing quarters, and this actually wasn't that long ago, and this guy said that he was the best at playing quarters and came up, and we didn't even know him. He approached our table like the massive man that he is.
Okay, wait, hold on. So let's just set the stage for the listeners. You're in a bar in Houston, right?
I'm in a bar in New York.
In New York. Okay. In New York. Okay. This makes way more sense as a New York story. Okay. So, how late is it? I mean, have you had a few? Are you just starting? Is it happy hour? What time are we looking at?
I don't drink. What are you talking about?
Oh, you don't drink.
I drink nothing but water and grape juice.
Water and grape juice. Okay. So,
but the grape juice possibly has been fermenting for a few years.
It possibly has been in some sort of Italian or Northern California. cellar for a few years.
It was kind of late. It wasn't that late. It was maybe it wasn't late to New York. I mean, in New York, it was maybe 1 o'clock. Maybe 1 o'clock, 1-ish, 2-ish.
Okay.
On there, and I had a few, not a lot.
Okay.
And then this man comes up to us. We decided to play quarters just to kind of get the night going and kind of pick up, you know, make everything kind of fun. So we got a glass, kind of like a rocks glass, and but a little bit taller. And we would fill it up halfway with beer.
Okay.
And then we would play quarters, you know. And then you make about the quarter, make it in, you pick the one, you know, who's going to drink. And then some man, being a brute, the brute, walks over. And he works on Wall Street. And he walks over and he just decides, oh, we're playing quarters. He goes, I'm the best. And then, like, you know, does one and he makes it in and he drinks the beer. Doesn't even pick anybody. He just drinks our beer.
Wow.
And so we all kind of just start laughing because we're just having a good time. You know, we don't want anything confrontation. Yeah. And then I guess he kind of pinpointed me as the quarter player of the group.
There we go. He put you in his sights because he realized you were the competition.
That's what he tried to alpha male me.
Exactly.
So I just laughed about it and decided to go ahead and play. And he just kept losing.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Like the whole table was kind of laughing because it got to the point to where I was staring him in the eyes and shooting quarters in the glass. And so it was, you know what? And I have seen Beer Fest 32 and a half times. So I know exactly the techniques to use. But I ended up, it got up to about $2,000 and it ended with him trying to bail. He tried to get out the back of the bar. And then so we went around to go get him and we ended up just letting him pay our tab, which was like $200 or $300. So he paid our tab and took off.
I'll tell you what, this podcast, if we do nothing else of interest, the podcast was worth it just for that story. the Daniel Garcia won a $2,000 bet in a game of quarters.
And that was just on a Wednesday.
All right. Well, do the same old online shops got you down? Feel like trying something new? Visit the new TrickShopMagic.com. TrickShopMagic.com isn't just an online store. They're a real live magic shop in Southern California, catering to everybody from hobbyists to professionals. They have competitive prices and superior customer service. Bob Elliott says the Trick Shop is without a doubt the best magic shop in the world. and Morgan Strebler says the Trick Shop rocks. I can't wait to come back. For the month of March, let them know you're an iTricks listener in the comments box at checkout, and they'll send you a free magic trick or DVD with every order. Again, that is www.trickshopmagic.com. Order today. And remember, for that March offer, we are running out of time. In fact, by the time this goes up, it might be over. So, I guess beseech Sam over there at the Trick Shop to see if he'll let you, continue with the deal. Well, some of the street performers at the UK's legendary Covent Gardens are feeling the squeeze now that a local city council wants to limit the time they can perform from 40 minutes to 30 minutes and their total time on the spots by 50%. This includes the famed Magician's Corner, where many, including Bob Reed, have busked themselves a few quid over the years. Danny, how important is street performing to a magician?
You know, I actually busked for 3 years.
Really?
I busked here in Houston. There's a place out here called the Kima Boardwalk. It's a really cool little it's the Landry's Corporation. They have a really nice little boardwalk out here with rides, and there's a roller coaster and waterfalls and all kinds of crazy stuff. I was out there for like 3 years, and I'll tell you what, man, and that's As far as close up chops, it's not really going to do much for close up. But as far as people,
yeah,
and dealing with people, that's some of the hardest work I've ever had to do, man. It really helps you out a lot as a magician, just dealing with situations, in general. It's just you learn a lot about people. You learn about a lot of things being out on the streets. So,
would you recommend busking for young magicians, or is it just something that if you're into it, you should get into it?
Well, it's kind of odd because, nowadays, whenever you say street magic to a young magician, they immediately think, put on a T-shirt, a pair of shoes,
yeah,
and just go out and just do close-up.
Exactly. I have a cameraman follow you, of course.
Exactly. That's not really what street magic was about. Street magic was about busking and getting a crowd and holding a crowd,
Yeah.
And the art of holding a crowd. I would definitely recommend for all of them to do it, just so they can see, the pressure. And, you can't do anything but grow. You know what I mean? Nothing's going to happen, but you're going to grow as a performer. That's the only thing that can happen.
And also, when it comes to an audience, there is really no higher compliment than them giving you money for your work, because that separation even if it's a dollar bill or change, is... it means something. It almost means something more than, just getting up and doing a show if they paid beforehand, because they're paying you afterward. You have to prove your worth.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's difficult. Well, I don't know if you've ever done it before, but it's definitely there's pressure, and it's hard work. You're yelling and you have to keep your energy up the whole time. And when people do give you money, that is really cool. It is good money. If you do it and you bust your butt all day or all night, it is good money. But it's definitely not. It's definitely not the put the tennis shoes on, the T-shirt, and go out with the camera and get some reactions. It's more of a I'm gonna get serious type thing.
Yeah. Although you can have a tennis shoes and T-shirt, right? I mean, that's
what I did. I did tennis shoes and T-shirt. But
there we go.
That's all I wore.
So it's not necessarily the clothes that you have to.
You don't have to. You don't have to. If I owned a tux, then I would do it. I would not do it in a tux. No way.
I can only imagine, man. I mean, it's hot here in South Florida. I can only imagine busking in busking in Houston.
That was the thinnest point of my life.
in the old Top and Tails.
Yeah, it was crazy, but it's so, and you meet so many good people. You meet other performers, you meet other street performers, and there were some great jugglers that were out there also. A buddy of mine, Noah, and a buddy of mine, Daryl, both of them were out there juggling, and man, you learn so much. I started teaching them some magic, and they started teaching me some juggling, and I mean, it was just great.
And it should be pointed out that the first two stories on this podcast, Penn and Teller, both, I think at times were busking. So, there is a long storied history.
Yeah, it definitely helps you with your on your feet, just kind of that real quick rapid fire responses.
All right, Danny. Well, are you familiar with a man named Tyler Wilson?
I love Tyler. Tyler's a good friend of mine out in Canada.
There we go.
Yeah, Tyler's the man. I love that guy.
Well, known for his best-selling book, Dominatrix, Tyler does have a new video specifically for iTricks listeners. Here is a clip of what it sounds like.
Here is Tyler Wilson shuffling with two hands. Here is Tyler Wilson shuffling with one hand. Here is Tyler Wilson shuffling with one hand off the back of his cat's head.
Wow, to see the video, head on over to andywithanigladwin.co.uk, where you can also find information about Dominatrix and where to download illegal copies of Daniel Garcia's prom photos. Again, that's andywithanigladwin.co.uk/itrix. So make sure you get over there and you see Mr. Wilson's videos and what you looked like, I guess, with the prom. I didn't know that those were circling around the internet, but apparently andygladwin.com has the or .co.uk has the skinny.
You know, that's just how I roll. You know? what I do is from time to time I leak out little things just to kind of keep the interest happening. And I decided on prom photos. So.
There we go. A regular a Cloverfield of magic, Daniel Garcia is. Well, during a tribute to Houdini on his website this week, Chris Angel told fans that he would announce the name of his new show at the Luxor in April. This show, produced by Cirque du Soleil, is slated to begin in late summer. So, Danny, any guesses on the name of the new Cirque show?
Nope.
All right. No, I think it's going to be
Chris Angel's Cirque du Soleil show. that's going to be what they're going to call it. It's going to have something to do with his name, I'm guessing. Chris Angel. What is it? Maybe Chris Angel on stage or nope, don't know. Don't really know.
All right. Well, Danny, let's focus on what you have coming up. Torn 2 is going to be available from Penguin Magic. What's the deal with that?
I think they have the download available already. The DVD is going to be out in a few weeks. We filmed this almost 2 years ago also.
Okay.
Yeah, so this was filmed almost 2 years ago. Basically, it's just a walk around routine. And I actually created this before I created Torn. It's just, you know, you have to sign a card, you tear a corner off, and then you visibly restore it in front of with no cover. But it's really cool. It's got, you know, I used it for years in my walk around. I use it at restaurants religiously. This is something that's been thought out and every little thing's been thought out. And so, it's just one of those routines that went through so many changes over years and years of performing it. To where I finally got it to, you know, exactly where I wanted it, to where it was just natural. But everything is really cool. You know, it instantly resets. You know, you don't have to reset anything. If it's a signed card, there's a bonus handling that I do on there and show you on there where you can actually show, you know, the signed card being ripped. I mean, there's a bunch of cool little additions on there. So
I have to say the trick looks great, but the thing I enjoy almost more is the commercial that you have for the trick, where it's just you on the back of the flatbed truck driving around Vegas, just yelling at the camera. And I just like to imagine just being on the street and just seeing that whole thing take place of you just circling various parts of Vegas.
Oh, it was great. That was actually done in Houston. That was actually done.
Oh, it's Houston. Oh, okay.
It was done in the spot where I was busking.
Really?
Yeah. That's where that was shot. Yeah.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah, it was great, man. You know, the thing about it is, you know, you have to have fun. And so we had, you know, I had some buddies out there and we had some girls in the back of this truck and we just decided, you know what, why not? Why not just start moving?
So, yes.
So, yeah, we had a good time.
Very, very cool. All right. And what else are you working on? What's coming up in the near future from Garcia?
The Garcia wallet is almost done. There's been people asking about that for years now. I've gone through about 11 prototypes.
Was that one of the things that you were showing off at Magic Live? I think I saw it.
Yeah. There was that one of the prototypes at Magic Live. I actually got a new prototype in while I was in New York. And there's just one other change. There's a couple changes. Now it's just, you know, it's cosmetic changes now that everything works properly. And now it's just the cosmetic changes because the original one I was making myself, I was hand making when I was using them in the restaurant.
Wow.
And so I was hand making. I'd have my mom help me out with that, you know, because she's a sewer. So she's a seamstress. Finally, this, you know, we've got this new prototype. I think the last prototype should be coming in within the next few weeks, and I'm really excited about that. So that's gonna be coming out hopefully next year. I'm shooting for around Christmas, but you know, I don't want to say Christmas because then people are gonna hold me to that. So I will say that'll be out within the next 4 years.
Okay. And we also certainly don't encourage the iTrix listeners right now to get furious with you if it doesn't come out by Christmas and say you promised us on the Magic Week in Review.
I mean, that's the funny thing though, man. It's just, you know, I get a lot of heat for that. You know, people kind of get angry at me. You know, when is this wallet coming out? When is your website going to be up? And it's like, dude, I'm sorry, I'm trying to work here.
They hate because they love though.
Yeah, I know. So, but it's okay. I mean, it's not a big deal. But yeah, that's coming out, and then I'm scheduled to start shooting my new multi-disc project this summer. So
excellent.
Yeah, so that's gonna be. I'm stoked about that, man. I think, you know, that's gonna be fun. It's some of the stuff that I didn't put on the Dan Garcia project that I wanted to kind of hold off for a little while. And then stuff that, you know, that I decided, you know, to go ahead and put on, you know, it's a combination of all things. I mean, these are they're all effects that I've been doing for years now, and just kind of ready to let them go now. So yeah, I'm really excited about that.
Any hints on what we can see specifically on the multi-disc?
You know what? It's, whenever we were in Vegas, a lot of the stuff that I was doing out there is going to be on the multi-disc. There's going to be a couple things, an impromptu card to spectator's wallet. There's a bill penetration with a band, penetration, with a dollar bill, a new card move, a card move that, you know, just has endless possibilities that I've been using and that I use literally every week. I mean, just tons of stuff. It's just going to be jam packed with all kinds of workers. So
fantastic. Now you mentioned, you quickly ran over the fact that you got a new prototype for your wallet while you were in New York. Now, Illusionist blog reported that a little birdie told them that you were consulting for David Blaine and his new special, which he confirmed at a Muhlenberg College in Pennsylvania this week is going to be his sleep deprivation stunt. At least that's what he told the crowd there. And we've also heard things. So what can you tell us about how you... Well, first, are you consulting for David Blaine?
Yes, I am. Yes,
all
that
right.
Is correct. That
there
is
we correct. Go. So from the horse's mouth, you are consulting. How did that happen?
It actually happened at the convention that we were both at.
Oh, cool. Okay, Magic Live last year.
David showed up there, and it was actually probably one of the most memorable moments in my life. It was really, really cool. I've respected Blaine, you know, ever since he came out with his first special. You know, and I respected what he was doing and the character that he was portraying and all that. I mean, everything was just seemed, you know, it seemed dead on to me that that's what magic needed at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So I was at this convention, the same one you were at, and I see a crowd walk into the dealer's room, and there's just a crowd of people, and I look up, and it's Blaine and Cyril, both of them came in together.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was so cool. He looked. I was way in the back. I was standing over by a booth. You know, I didn't want to bother anybody. And so I was standing way in the back, and he looked across the whole dealer's room. He looked right at me, and he like perked up, and then he like leaned down to one of his friends. I think it was Doug McKenzie. I think that's who was with him.
Yeah.
He leaned down to Doug, and then Doug looked at me, and then Doug said something to him, and David like looked and said, "Excuse me." You know, you could tell what he was saying. He said, "Excuse me, excuse me." And he just beelined right towards me through the crowd.
Nice.
Yeah. And he came up to me and he goes, "Daniel Garcia." And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Man, it's really, really great to meet you. I've been a fan of your stuff for a while, and I've been following you for a while." And to me, that was just, you know, that was great. And so I gave him a hug and said, "What's up?" Like, I've been knowing him for a while. and he said, "Oh, I met you before." And I said, "No." So he just started laughing. And then he asked me to go to dinner with him that night with him and the crew. And so so we went and ate, and he, you know, talked a little bit about the show. And, you know, he said he was going to get in contact with me. And then sure enough, a few months later, I get a phone call, and it was to see if I had any ideas for the show. So I submitted some ideas for him, and then I get a phone call later saying that he wanted me to be one of the head consultants. So that's how that all went down.
Absolutely. That is great. Now,
that was great.
Obviously, you can't go into any kind of real specifics about what you did, but for fans of your work, I mean, is there anything that, you know, they're going to see? I mean, any kind of, you know, Daniel Garcia flavor that's going to, you know, seep, you know, into the special there?
Oh, definitely. It's, I mean, you know, we've been working. It's really funny because it started off as me, you know, submitting these ideas. And then one idea in general, he said he definitely wanted to use, he just wanted a kicker ending. So, you know, we did that. Well, when I flew out to New York to actually meet with the guys, with Doug and Dan White, those are the other two consultants, you know, we all clicked really well. And so it went from me working on these specific tricks to me working on everything with everybody.
Yeah.
Which was just great because, you know, it was, you know, three heads are always better than one. And, you know, the things that we've come up with are just, you know, it's phenomenal. It's the most excited I've been in a while about magic, you know, and the stuff that I've created in general, you know, the stuff that I've created in the past, you know, this is, I'm kind of getting that feeling again, that just really, you know, that giddy feeling like, man, this is really, really hot, you know?
Well, that is great to hear. That is
so
awesome.
Yeah, I'm very, very excited. You know, the fact that he's focusing more on magic too, the special just really, you know, that pumped me up also. So.
Yeah. So this is a bit of more of a focus on magic.
Yeah, definitely. Dave's always, you know, wanted to focus on magic, you know, and you know, for some reason or other, that couldn't happen. But, you know, the fact that this one is focusing more on magic is just, I mean, I'm really excited about the special, especially with him being such a great guy. So,
yeah, I mean, he's a super match. The funniest thing is that now it's almost every week that there's a story about, you know, Blaine doing something really cool for somebody. Like we had like a story 2 weeks ago where he just randomly started doing magic for a girl that recognized him on the subway. She was hard of hearing, and it turned out, like, you know, unfortunate, you know, for Blaine, she had a blog, and, like, you know, it wound up, we reported on it, OK Magazine reported on it. So all of a sudden he comes out just looking like a super awesome guy because he was cool enough to do a few tricks on the subway. So,
you know, the thing about that is, though, that's just him in general. You
yeah.
know, I didn't get a chance to know him until, you know, I started hanging out with him when I was in New York, and we, you know, we got a chance to become really good friends. And he's just a super awesome guy, man. And that's like, you know, people just think, you know, some people might think, oh, you know, he's just doing that because he knew that this was going to get out or something like that. But that's just his everyday life. That's what he does. He just likes making people happy, and he likes fooling people. You know what I mean? He's that cool of a guy. He really is down to earth, and, you know, and it's really awesome.
Excellent. Now, can you say anything about the shooting schedule? Do you know when was that shooting when you were up there, or?
No, I can't really say.
Can't say anything about the shooting
schedule.
About
okay. Anything, yeah.
Excellent. All right. Well, I mean, that's very, very good stuff. And I'm very excited to see the end product, which I will say that Blaine said should be in September on ABC. Well, Anders Moden has finally released a DVD of his Healed and Sealed Soda effect entitled Healed and Sealed Soda 2.0. You can snag it right now at the brand new AndersModen.com. This is only one of many new releases, so make sure you get on his new mailing list. In fact, Anders has a deal for you. 5 lucky fans who sign up for AndersModen.com's mailing list this week will receive a free trick from the top drawer of Anders Moden himself. Again, 5 lucky fans will win a free trick this week just for signing up on the mailing list with no purchase necessary. So don't forget to head over to AndersModen.com right now. If you're in front of your computer, go immediately. But as we mentioned at the top of the podcast, it's official. Cyril will appear in the new David Mamet film, Red Belt. In the trailer released this week, the international sensation is seen performing a dice trick in a bar. Cyril first hinted at his role in the film at last year's Magic Live, which apparently has come up 15 times during this podcast already. So if anything, this is almost just a commercial for Magic Live. Danny, if you could be in a movie by any director, who would it be?
Holy Jesus. I don't think I made it that far down the prep sheet.
Oh, you didn't? You didn't read this question?
Wow. Man, I don't know. I would want to, Jesus, I have no idea. That's a very good question.
Well, all right. Well, we can work through this. What kind of flicks are you into in general?
I love all movies, all kinds of movies, man. I'm a movie junkie. I love going to, me and Josh Jay had this conversation. I just love movies in general. Just, it doesn't matter what it is. I don't know. I might want to be in a comedy, but on the other hand, I don't know. I have no, especially having a theater background too. You know, that's a That's a tough question.
That's a big question. All right, well, let's stick with comedy. What would be some of your favorite comedic directors?
Wow, you know, I'm really like right now, just I'm really digging
The Broken Lizard. You mentioned Beer Fest earlier.
You know, I'm liking like The Broken Lizard, all those guys. I mean, you know, I'm liking those. But right now, the thing that's really what is that guy's name?
Can you name a movie? I can help you out.
See, now you just have me going blank.
Oh, don't worry. We'll let it all out.
Seth Rogen, that's what it is.
Seth Rogen. Okay.
Yeah, hey, so what is Superbad?
Yes.
I'm really digging those, you know, those guys, the Seth Rogen and that the Evan guy.
They're
the guys that wrote Superbad, and those, man, I'm just really digging that style, just that real kind of blunt, down to earth, you know, style. And so I think that fits me. It fits me well as far as the comedy. But as far as, you know, that's just hard to say that I would want to be if it was any director in the world. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Because look at Spielberg. You know, I mean, come on now. Am I going to choose Spielberg over Jed Apatow?
I guess the question's very, very deceptive, because it's not like, you know, like, who would you turn down being in a movie with? Because I'm sure if, you know, like the worst director in the world was like, hey, I got a kind of cool thing. You want to be in it? It's going to be in 5,000 screens come May. You'd be like, I don't know. I'll think about it for a second.
Yeah, exactly. Who am I not going to turn down? I mean, that's just, you know, that's, I mean, I dig all kinds of movies. So it's not, you know, I can't. But if Judd Apatow was up against Spielberg, then I would definitely have to go with Spielberg, you know?
Okay. All right. There we go. The Magic Week in Review, where we pit Steven Spielberg against Judd Apatow.
Bum, bum, bum.
All right. Well, you know, I'll tell you what, it goes by so quick, but we're pretty much at the end of the show here. I want to thank our sponsors, AndersModen.com, AndyGladwin.co.uk. And also remember, visit Tyler Wilson's video at andygladwin.co.uk/iTricks. And of course, Sam Blankenship, who books half the guests on this podcast because he's awesome, at trickshotmagic.com. But really, the man I need to thank is Daniel Garcia for stopping in and helping us out, man. Thank you very much. It's been great.
Oh, thank you. No, thank you for having me, man. It's been an awesome time.
All right. Well, again, if you guys want to email in thoughts, it is show@itricks.com. But until next week, I'm Justin Robert Young for itricks.com.